in moments like these.
Can we just all stand?
I lift,
let's just give him all of our praise this evening. Let's lift our hands to him. Oh, Lord, we love you. Praise you, Lord. To you, Lord. Oh, let's just give him all of our heart.
Singing, I love you, Lord.
We exalt you, Lord.
Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. I love you.
Singing, I love you, Lord, with just out the instruments.
Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. I love you.
Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just love pouring out our praise to you, Lord. We truly love you, Lord, and that's why we're here tonight, Lord. We love the truth. We're lovers of your word, your life, Father, your wisdom, Lord, your righteousness, Lord, your kingship, your rulership over us, Lord, your character, Lord. Lord, we want to have every part of you that we love become every part of us, Lord. Lord, we want to fully identify, Lord. We want it to be our name badge, Lord, that we have to people, Lord. Maybe not to see in print, Lord, on our name badge, Lord, but Lord, we want to identify and say, I am him. I am Christ. Oh, Lord, please take us this evening, Lord. Oh, Lord, we just rebuke any spirits of heaviness, Lord, over the people, Lord, and over our minds, our hearts, our bodies, Lord. And in the name of Jesus Christ, and we ask, Father, that your anointing, Father, would be here, Lord, to burn within our hearts, Lord, to open our eyes of understanding, Lord, as you break the bread, Lord, and get us out of the way, Lord. Get all of our thinking, Lord, all of our preconceptions, Lord, out of the way, Father, that you may be glorified and not our own knowledge, Lord, of what we think you are, Lord. We thank you, Father. Lord, just settle us down in your presence, Lord, and just feed us beside still waters, Lord, and restore our souls, Lord. We thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise God. So good to hear the good report, Sister Mary. That's just so wonderful. There's no one like our God.
Amen.
Amen. It's like when you hear a story and you know what's going to happen next because he's the author and finisher of our faith, right? Praise God. Well, it's been a busy week, and I'm sure everybody can say that as well. And good to see each one of you all. Good to have Pete and Ray back. Good to be back. We just really felt led to red-eye it down to Missouri to be at the eclipse. My brain is tired. The totality of the eclipse. And that was just an amazing thing. What was so amazing is that the sun could be, even as it got partially darker, it didn't look like it was any darker. And it made me think of the seven church ages, right, where we see that the light, there's barely any light in this age, and there's barely any light in certain ages, and it just became relative. It was just because it wasn't a flip of a switch. And I was thinking about how when it got to about 10 minutes, it just felt eerie. It didn't feel dark. It just felt eerie. You felt like you were wearing sunglasses. And so everything looked bright. It looked, you know, everybody was just still, you know, chatting. There was, you know, hundreds of people all around. We were at a state park. And yet, all of a sudden, it got to a part where it was probably, you know, 95% totality, where people are just starting to, something is happening. You can tell the expectation was strong, and people started, you could hear people starting to gasp, and people started to get ready, get their glasses, get and look up at the sun. And then it's like there was nothing else on anybody's mind. People had brought canoes, there was a lake, and people were doing all sorts of stuff. People were playing frisbees, but everybody stopped. And now they're just waiting for that moment. And all of a sudden, within about 10 seconds, it goes from where it looks kind of like almost like it was day. But yet nature already knew, because about 10 minutes before, the birds were already starting to sing their evening songs, and the crickets were starting to chirp like it was evening. And I was talking to Pete and Ray, and how they said that the people said the clouds were laying down, because nature knew, it was programmed to know that this is the evening time. And to think that now it reached total totality, and it was just, it was pure, just awe of what the Lord could do to align the moon with the sun so much that you could not only see the corona, but you could also see the explosions off the sun. Help me, solar flares. Thank you. Where you could see that the solar flares was a different color. There's the whiteness of the corona, but then there was the orangeness of the solar flares, and you could see it behind the moon. And just to think that it was so perfect how God did that. And even though the moon is a lot closer this time, and yet it just made me think about how dark the hour is getting today. And we see it and we feel it, and it's unsettling, and we can see the signs in nature, and how that it all of a sudden we say it almost felt like someone was on a dimmer switch, and all of a sudden they jumped a little bit. It was like your brain got an update, and it all of a sudden, wait, it just got a little darker. And it just feels like the age, right? Where all of a sudden something happens in the world, and you're saying, it just got a little bit darker. That was different, like over across the whole world. Just like we've heard where different countries will say, well, what do you say about the LGBTQ agenda? And they'll say, we don't know yet. We're going to see what America does, because whatever America does, we're going to do. So you can see that it's like they're in control of that, how much dark is being let in or not. And so then of course, in total totality, it's such an ominous feeling. But what was amazing is something that reminded me of how faithful the Lord is. As you actually, since it was about 4 minutes of totality, you felt like there was, you felt like this was a state of norm. Because our attention span is only 7 seconds, they say. I knew Derek would frown, because his attention span is at least 5 minutes. But other than Derek, all of us would probably be like, all of a sudden maybe look down at our phone and, oh, wait, oh, there's totality still. And so to think that we, all of a sudden, someone looked up and someone gasped, and here comes just the brightness of the sun, just so bright, going from dark to just all of a sudden, there it is, here it comes. And just the rejoicing of the sun being back. And it just made me think about just how David in the scripture says, you know, if thy law had not been my delights, I would have perished in my affliction. And so many times I feel like we have darkness enter our lights, and it just keeps getting dimmer and dimmer, and it's totally black and we can't see the sun. And yet we know it's there. We see the signs. He's there. We know it. But because of his laws, just like the laws of the universe, is that the sun is coming back. And you know, Isaac, he didn't know, and he said, is it time for bed, Dad? It's getting really dark, Dad. Is it time for bed? and how that we were able to obviously say, no, it's not time for a bed. And he was very happy about that. And so being able to have the sun come back and, wow, now it's everybody goes back to normal again. And so it's amazing how that it's so good for us to have dark times in our lives. Like even at work, they'll be playing kind of just melodious music. And all of a sudden, this like in the morning stocking, all of a sudden they start playing some really heavy metal. And I'm like, oh, I need to start praising the Lord to really offset this. And I need to really focus on Christ because it's so dark. And so many things I drew out of that. And I'm not going to preach anything on end times or eclipses or anything like that. That was just, this will be a double feature tonight. That was all I have on that. But I just wanted to bring back that wonderful perspective, even though there's no way other than just being there that you could really grasp the awe of the Lord in it. Yeah. I always tend to get ahead of myself, so I just want to just say it's good to be in the house of the Lord, good to see each one of you, and to be excited about the Word of God, and to see how many believes there's something new that you've never seen before in the Scripture, that you can see it, right? Every one of us can see something new. We can be reminded, that's good. Oh, I forgot, right? So many things I forgot. In the Scripture, I just need to have my memory stirred up. But there's something where we can see it. We can come up a little higher. We can level up a little bit. So that's our challenge this evening. So with that, let's just stand and open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6. It's amazing because I might be showing how much of a subconscious listener I have been in Sunday service, because I feel like sometimes Brother Don or one of the other brothers have been preaching, and then all of a sudden the Lord will just show it to me for the first time months later, and then I'm like, hey, guess what I found? And just thanking God for the maturity of the fivefold ministry here to be able to say, praise God, you found it, and not say, I've been preaching to you that for months. So, praise God. For those who are writing this down, I'd like to entitle this, Better Things. Better Things. And we're going to get into the first probably half of chapter 6, but we really want to jump into just verse 9. So let's just read verse 9, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. You may be seated. Lord bless. Add his blessings to the word. And so, okay, now to give context, let's go back to verse 1, is that we see an overview of this, that we're striving for perfection. We're not just striving for, praise God, we got saved. That's it. We're going to heaven. Now we're going to go back to whatever we were doing before, is that no, God wants us to be complete, not just started. Praise God. It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Now, I looked up that word leaving, Derek, and what's interesting is it's not leaving as in forsaking. We know that, right? But sometimes when we say something like this, it sounds like we're leaving it, like as in we're saying, I've had enough of the principles of the doctrines of Christ, I'm going to go on to perfection. And I've heard people say that. Yeah, as it even saying, like, we don't believe in healing anymore. We're going on to perfection. I've heard someone say that before, that's not for us anymore. We've got, those are the former things, former dispensations, we're going to go on to perfection. And it's minimizing the actual attributes of Christ, because he's still a healer. He's still a deliverer. He still has all that. But to think that it actually means to sojourn forward. It's to go forward. That we have the principles of the doctrine of Christ, and therefore we should be moving forward. Why would we camp at the principles of doctrines of Christ and then say, okay, it's a state of a location, and we don't have to leave here or go forward on anything else, right? But we can go forward from the principles of Christ. Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrines of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those which were once enlightened, having tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and having tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again into repentance, seeing they have crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain which cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receives a blessing from God. And he's starting to go into the blessings of God. And so it's interesting, the warning in this of how that these were enlightened, but yet, and they've tasted, and there's a falling away. And so we see coming up in contrast where we are. But that which beareth thorns and briars, verse 8, so this is where we really want to pay attention, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. And what a, I remember hearing this growing up, these things where you'd say the tares were gathered to be burned, and then the wheat was gathered into the barn. And I was thinking, what a sobering thing to know, I don't want to be a tare, I want to be over in the barn. I mean, and just the severity of that, and to think, dear God, what am I doing? Lord, please help me not to be a tare. Help me to be in the barn. I want to be in your barn. And this is so interesting because it's the antithesis to beautiful, wonderful fruit. Imagine if you went into Costco in the produce department and all you saw were prickly things that you couldn't eat. There was all these thorns and briars, and you're saying, why are these on sale? No one would buy anything, obviously. Because there's no life in it. There's nothing but things that can hurt you. And it's interesting because you see a lot of people that have come to the light of the word and come to the message of what God's done in this day, and then they fall away, and all they are just prickly, and there's no good fruit. It's interesting, the other day I had a dream, and we just been over to Good Shepherd to hear a guest speaker, and right after that, I just saw the whole property of Good Shepherd, and it was all a garden, and it was just full of fruit, and there was people coming with fruit, and people going with fruit. And there was all kinds of fruit, and it was in abundance. And it was like one of those cooperatives that you see where people are all in, and they love just finding a way to cultivate producing fruit. Sister Laura's smiling because she understands that rewarding feeling, no matter how long you have to wait and how many days picking weeds, Lilia, in the sun, that you get that wonderful fruit, and it's, you can share it. It's not just for the property, and those inside the property is that people are coming and bringing fruit. And no one was bringing thorns. And so to think that this is the picture of us is not to be that chaff, not to be those thorns, but to be having wonderful fruit, just wonderful, delectable fruit. And what is that fruit? It's of the source from him. Is that it's not just our, just like Cain, where he's like, I got fruit. You're gonna love my fruit. This is wonderful. I brought you a sacrifice, and God was not pleased. And so this is the caution, obviously, because it cannot be our own doing. But just as one of my favorite scriptures, Philippians 2:13, it is God who gives us to will and to do, the power to will and to do of his good pleasure. He has to, if we remember in the foundation of better things and of bearing fruit, it has to be yielding to God as the vine, giving us the branches, fruit from him as a source, as Louise's translation is so wonderful to put in there. And so we see that whose end is to be burned, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. And that word better means higher, more excellent, in greater quantity. So God doesn't just want fruit, because we know in Matthew 5 that there was the ones that weren't bearing any fruit were burned. But the ones that were bearing fruit, he pruned them. Ouch. How many's been pruned before? Anybody been pruned? Even though they're doing a really good job, they're like, Lord, praise God, things are happening. And all of a sudden God prunes us. But it's because he wants even more and better fruit. How many have you been to an apple orchard in Minnesota? You probably don't have to raise your hand. We are in Appleville. But you always hear when they take you down on the tractors, right, kids? They'll be like, now you see these trees, we cut these and prune these back whereas you see these other trees and they're just gorged and gorged with fruit and there's just fruit everywhere. But if you were to taste one of the apples, it would taste horrible, right? Because there's too much poor quality fruit. And so it looks really good. It's bearing lots of fruit. And maybe it's like a Christian where they're like, yeah, God's, they're just a little bit ego. But God says, no, I want better tasting fruit. I want it to be really, really sweet and just very delectable fruit. And so to know that God has to prune us, oh, Lord, help us. We are persuaded better things of you, in greater quantity, more excellent, higher. And things that accompany salvation, we thus speak. And this is interesting because I've never really dove into this before about things that accompany salvation. And Spurgeon was talking about it. He says, you know, if you have a king and he's going down the road and he's got his forward guard and his rear guard, and this is his company, this is his attendants, his ranks, that these occur at the same time, hand in hand. Another word for a company is echo, is that it's all hand in hand, it's all part of the same thing. You can't have salvation without the things that accompany salvation. And the thing is, I think so many times we try to categorize and compartmentalize and saying, okay, salvation, boom. And then we forget that there's a whole company around that, a whole entourage around that of these things that are with it. You can't just part the whole company and say, okay, I just want salvation. All of these things come with it. Praise God. And if it's from the Lord, it's going to be wonderful. I think so many times my flesh is like, oh man, there's more than salvation. I got this far. Oh man, he wants me to do more things. Does anybody ever feel like that? Right? And because we're really not in that state of trust, right? We're just in this, oh man, there's another thing I got to do. But the Lord loves us. He has the best for us. And he wants us to become everything that he is. So there has to be something other than just saving us. That would be the kind of the epilogue of all this. You know, it's the Ephesians 2 where it's God rich in mercy, who's reached down his hand and pulled us out of the miry clay and brought us to him. And like the Eric Ludi clip where he says, but then he put robes on us and then called us son. He didn't just save us from all the world. He actually brought us in and called us son, and then gave us his character, and that we may rule and reign with him. So we have a part two. We have another part, even though we're just glad to be saved. Verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed towards his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. It's that, we know that it's that earnest expectation unto the end. It's coming. Just like when I was seeing that, I was just thinking about that. Like, what if the solar eclipse totality was the rapture, and to just keep our eyes on it? Obviously, that's just an example, is to say, if we can just hold and keep our eyes on Christ, there's so many distractions, and just keep loving him and keep letting him do his work in us. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. And these are the things that accompany salvation, right? Faith and patience to inherit the promises. This might be just me, but for the youth too, especially, is that you think about it, our walk in life, you know, we always hear that there's the beginning of our life, and then there's the end of our life, and we're in the middle, and we're like, what in the world is going on? And we're like, we've heard there's valleys and mountains, and there's hard times and good times, and you're thinking like, how do I just get past all the hard times and just have the good times? Or just like the good old days and all these things. And I've created a picture, is that it's just like walking through a beautiful field. And I'm thinking, oh, this is wonderful. And all of a sudden, out of the grass, here comes a temptation. And I'm like, oh, there's a temptation right there. Okay, let's see. Oh, boy. That word is by hitting my heart. And that's it. And now I'm like, okay, good. Now back to the field. And I just keep going on and whatever. And it's just this linear path. And then it's like, okay, oh, here comes a dark valley. Okay, here comes a dark valley. And then, okay, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. You're with me. Praise God. That's good. Okay, here comes a table before me, the presence of my enemies. All right, here comes a mountain. Okay, good. We got a mountain. Oh, that means the valley is coming. You know, we just kind of get this idea of the as this. But I was thinking of it another way, and if I could use something that kind of relates to the youth, is growing up, I remember playing Mario. The video game, and the boys are smiling because they know, is that you're starting out on a course, and it's the easiest thing in the world, and you're like, I get a little this and a little that, and oh, I got bigger, and okay, I'm going along, okay, oh, I won, and you're like, wow, I like this game, and then all of a sudden, oh, there's bad guys, I gotta fight the bad guys, and then all of a sudden, there's more elements coming along. And they're like, I need something more than I have. I gotta start being vigilant. I gotta do something different than I did at level one. And the reason why I use this as an example is because I was realizing that God is taking us up to better things. He's taking us up levels. Is that it's not like a same field in my mind, if we can use this as an example. And I'm probably breaking metaphors and going all over the place, as Derek is approvingly nodding. But to think of it like this is that say we've gotten to level seven, of 100 levels. And if we went back to level one, we would say, I already know that. I can do that in my sleep. We would never want to go back to that level. And I think sometimes we paint, I do in my own mind, the levels of perfection, getting to completion. Just get me back to level one so I can just rest, rather than taking this thought of I am one of God's soldiers in the army of the Lord, and I've already been equipped to level seven. And here comes level 8. And it's, I already had the experience of all those 7 levels. And it was the experience of saying, Lord, I'm totally relying on you. I don't know what's coming. But just like in that game, there would always be something in that game to level you up right before the enemy would come. And it wouldn't be 5 minutes before. It would be, there's the bad guy charging at you. And you're like, if I don't get the firepower to be able to shoot fire at this guy within a millisecond, he's going to take me over, right? And so it's just this quick run as fast as you can towards the enemy to grab the equipment to defeat the enemy, right? Timothy, is that how it works? So we see this, and we start getting really good at, right? We start getting really good at it as being able to just go towards the enemy and grab that equipment, right? Thank you. So when we get this experience to be able to see that there's something that we're going to be equipped with, and we won't want to go back. We want to keep going higher and higher. There's something coming. And so we start seeing this in Scripture, where even the disciples start to understand this is happening. The first time, remember, young people, the first time that Jesus walked on water, they were like, oh my goodness, it's a ghost. They were horrified. And the first time he said, cast your net on the other side, it was what in the world? Okay, he said to do it. But by the time, the last time he said, cast your net on the other side, they're like, it is the Lord. We knew what was coming. That's his signature move. He did that back in level 5. And they started to know the way he worked, right? I told you the story about Brother Wes and Sister Carol coming back from Florida with their trailer, and the trailer wheel bearing, or the tire, went out. And because they've had so many hardships, their son dying, so many things, they immediately stopped and looked at each other, and they're like, it's got to be the Lord. Because we've done everything right. We've maintained the wheel. We've done everything. We checked everything before we left. It's got to be the Lord. Something's about to happen. And so they saw the level that they were on and didn't say, oh, no. Like, what's going on here? Like, what kind of Bible is this? What kind of God is this? It's like, oh, okay, level 26. Here we go. Right? For us to have that perspective is, remember, if I wouldn't realize that the laws of God, I would have perished in my affliction. If they would not have been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. So to be able to say, oh, like Brother Bram would say, and I knew something was fixing to happen. There was that time where he got ahead of the Lord. He's like, oh, that's it. Oh, okay. And then I'm going to pray for you. You're healed. And it didn't work because he got ahead of the level, and then he had to restart the level. And so by the grace of God, praise God that we can restart the level. Which means we have to start over sometimes and go back. But the Lord is gracious to help us and give us those helps to get to higher things. And this goes right in with the eyes of faith, Brother Don. I was just thinking about this, is that we're seeing the way God works and the way things are in real reality. We're not looking at the actual, as we are the character in this test of like, oh man, yeah, it's Tuesday and oh my goodness, and this is happening, that's happening, is that when we can have those eyes of faith, we're like, oh, this is, I'm coming up on another level. And to be able to say, and the Lord has been really helping me over the last 3 or 4 years is, here's one of the phrases that I use is, when it looks like a downgrade, God has an upgrade. So when you're like, oh no, that's what you can see everybody around you saying that, like, oh dear. I remember the first time this happened, we were down in South Carolina with Jason and Amy, and we were leaving back to go home, and we were like, oh, good to see you guys, and we prayed together, and then we got in the van, and all of a sudden, like, ding, your flight is late. It's like, it's been delayed an hour and a half. And I was like, Oh, okay. Well, okay, let's go back in the house again. Yay. And then we go back in the house and we're like, okay, all right, we need about that much time. Okay, let's get back in the vehicle. And then it was like, ding, flight is updated. It's now on time. Something like that. And you're like, oh my goodness, we should have been at the airport. And then so I call and they're like, oh yeah, we could have gotten you back on the original flight. It's, you know, we figured it out. And I was like, wait a minute. And I know it's the Lord because he gives us those eyes. And I was like, it's the Lord. Something's going on. And because it happened three times and it went from like a 5:30 p.m., you know, with us and the kids to now nine, it was like 9:30 p.m. to where we had to get on the flight. And I was like, the Lord's delaying something. There's something going to happen. And so we get on the flight and I'm just about to sit down and right across from our seats, I hear Steven. And like, I turn around and it's Kate, who I worked with her husband, hanging gutters. And she had just been with a friend, traveling just to get away, two moms getting away. And the Lord put me there, at the seat next to him, just, and he had these questions. They had questions about the Holy Ghost. They had questions about speaking in tongues and all these things. And it just came flowing out of me like rivers of living water. And it was just, and the crazy thing, Derek, is I actually didn't talk as much. So that was, you knew it was the Lord. And because I just didn't want it to be me. I was like, I'm gonna ruin this moment. And we waited 3 hours of delays. I'm just gonna be quiet until they actually ask me a question. And it, but it was just what was needed in that moment. And so when we see it looks like a downgrade, we're like, oh great. It's just think, okay, we're gonna do all we can. Maybe it's just, are we just gonna have patience? But to be able to say, okay, Lord, are you doing something in this? To be able to say, think with those eyes of faith, right? It is the Lord. Acts 4, because we can rub off on others the better things. Remember how when the disciples were arrested after the day of Pentecost, and they were now on trial in front of the Sanhedrin, and all of a sudden, just Peter is not talking like a sailor anymore. He's now just expounding on the things of God. It comes so much farther, so much more complete in Christ. And I love that phrase. And they knew he had been with Je that they had been with Jesus. And it was, he got an upgrade. He didn't go to theology school. He didn't go to all, is he'd been had that time with Jesus. And to me, there's no simpler way to have better things in Christ than just be with Jesus. It's as simple as that. Praise God. Praise God. So we have all these things to accompany salvation. We're going to go to another scripture, to 1 Peter, sorry, 2 Peter 1. We should just tally how many times we've gone to 2 Peter 1, because it's just there's so much good in it. And we know that it says in verse 3, there's a, if you have a heading, it says fruitful in what? Does anybody have that in there? It says in mine, fruitful in the knowledge of Christ. In verse 3, according as his divine power hath given us unto us. Can we read this verse together? This is so good. Verse 3, 2 Peter 1, 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And verse 4 together, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Praise God that we are partakers of this divine nature. That's the completeness that we want. That's the better things that we want, is his divine nature. That's what we're looking for. We're not looking for what the world would call perfection, is that we have his divine nature, which he is perfect. It's taking that divine and having escaped the corruption of, in this world through lust. So we see that there's this rustiness, the spiritual rustiness in the world. And it's lust, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And so we see the antithesis fighting against us of our perfection. And we need his divine power given to us and all that pertain to life and godliness, of his nature, to have that continual salvation, that continual deliverance, that continual keeping of us and holding us. And we draw from that every day. He daily loads us with benefits. Open my mouth wide and I will fill it. Is that we have to pull and draw from that every day, because it's that completeness. It's that in that moment, that as we've all had those moments where we're like, I could never be that spiritual, I don't think, to in that moment, to be able to know what to say, to pray for that person or to speak something to that person. And yet we know it's given in the moment to speak the word and it's right there. As Brother Branham has said, when he was in front of that maniac that was spitting in his face and wanted to punch him and kill him, he says, I wish I could be there right now, because the love, the anointing, the sweet communion, that perfection in a moment, that complete filling of just letting the Lord take him over and to speak the word exactly what was needed. And I don't say anything other than the experience I have, that when I fell off that two-story roof, I wish I could be there right now. Because of that moment, you felt such love and such abiding in the scripture, that in Psalms 91, it was holding me, and it was this complete trust, falling backwards with my hands in the air, praising the Lord at the top of my lungs. And I didn't say, dear journal, one day, because I will fall off a roof, I'm going to make sure that I was thinking of Psalms 91, and I'm going to quote the third verse. And then if I have a long distance, I'll quote the fourth verse. Right? Because it's not a rehearsal, even though we hide the word in our hearts. It's that we are keeping our eyes upon him and partaking of him every day in that prayer closet, like Terror of Tenerife, which, young people, if you haven't listened to that, like, have your parents pull that up, Terror of Tenerife, because he talks about how that when the plane that was, they were just about to take off, and they were T-boned on the runway, and the whole thing was engulfed in flames. He said, I was pre-programmed. I went right back to the living room with my mother, and we were praying together. And I knew that there was angels all around me because we had prayed. That's what I've been back to. Whereas the world, they go back to all the movies where they watched, where they're saying, oh, blasphemy, oh, curses. Because they know that that's their pre-programming, is I am now damned, I am now lost, is the first thing that they think of. Versus when, because we have Christ and we have better things that accompany salvation, that we now are transported by being programmed by the word of God for that moment. There's no supposition of what that moment will be. It's just we know that we will not perish in our affliction, because God has an upgrade in that moment, right when we need it. Praise God. Musicians, if you could come. That's a lot for tonight. But the simplicity of it. There is so much that I want to say, but to be able to end it there and to be able to make sure that you each can go home tonight in your lives and to be able to think and say, when I have troubles in my life, when things are dark, when things are disappointing, God has better things for me.
That's right.
And it's higher than I can even imagine and expect. And I don't want to be caught in the end producing nothing but thorns and thistles. I want his fruit to be seen in me. I want that to be able to give someone that wonderful, better things that I have, to be able to pass that on. Oh, praise God. Could we just, anybody have a song? Derek? Yes. What number is that? With my hands, I will bless thee, O Lord. Is it in the whole assembly? Okay. I will bless thee, O Lord. What's a wonderful thing. Praise God. I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. You're going to have to help me. With the heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. With my hands lifted up, my heart filled with praise, and my heart filled with praise. With heart of thanksgiving, with the heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. Let's just all stand and bless the Lord. I bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord, with a heart of thanksgiving. I will bless thee, O Lord, with my hands lifted high, with my hands lifted high, and my heart filled with praise, with a heart of thanksgiving, with a heart of thanksgiving. I will bless thee, O Lord. Amen. Amen. Pray. Bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord, with a heart of thanksgiving. I will bless thee, O Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we bless you, Lord, that you have better things for us, Lord. And Lord, as I was reading about this, Lord, just the prophet of the day, Lord, was just saying, we need to get ready for the better things. And how he was saying, we need to clean up our houses. We need to clean out all unbelief and throw it in the trash. Because blessings and cursings cannot dwell in the same house. Lord, we want your blessings, Father, but we just want to be ready, Lord. Just as that blood being applied, Lord, to our houses, our hearts, Lord, we want, Lord, your word to be applied in our lives, Lord. We want to say yes to you with everything, Father. Lord, that we can have better things. We can truly level up in you, Father. Lord, I just encourage and invite anyone tonight, including myself, to just commit that to the Lord and say, Lord, I want all those better things, Lord, that accompany salvation, that are going hand in hand to salvation, Lord, to add to my faith, Lord, to virtue, to add to my virtue knowledge, to add to my knowledge temperance, Lord. Lord, to add, to let you, O God, through me, Lord, keep adding, Father. Lord, and wherever there's obstacles in our lives, Father, may we, Lord, just expose those things to your light, Father, and let us be glad, Lord, that we don't have to have obstacles in our lives, Father. Oh God, that you've come, Lord, that we can run through a troop and leap over a wall. We thank you now. We just commit each one here into your hands tonight as we go, Lord. We thank you, Father. We love you, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I will bless you, O Lord. My hands lifted up, and my heart's filled with praise, with a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. We just worship him a little longer with my hands lifted up, and my heart filled with praise, with the heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. Seth, would you just close this in a word of prayer?
Dear Lord, thank you that we could come tonight to be with you and to worship you. Thank you that Brother Stephen could come here tonight to preach to us. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Dismissed.